Have you ever been in a meeting with a donor where the conversation gets so off track? If you have a donor or a team member who's been dominating the conversation, it can create a lot of stress for you as a fundraiser if you don't have some go-to strategies to help you get everyone moving in the same direction. So for today's episode, I've asked Karen and Diana to share some tips for what you can do when a conversation just totally goes off the rails, so that you're prepared and can seamlessly get things back on track.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising, so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm Karen Kendrick, and my colleague Diana and I are hosting the podcast today to talk to you about something we have all dealt with, a meeting that is going off track. Now, there are a lot of reasons this can happen, and it takes practice to know how to handle this in a way that helps you stay calm and present and honor the other people in the meeting. So, Diana, let's start by talking about where this problem can start, because it often begins with how we prepare for the meeting, right?
Really, that's it. And Karen, if we're really honest with ourselves, that's it. We don't actually put the preparation in for meetings like we should. We don't like to think that we need it because we've done meetings and we've been doing this X number of years and I should be able to do it. So the first thing to do is think back on maybe some meetings that went sideways on you and reflect on what took place. You know where your pain points are, so to speak. Did you start the meeting off setting expectations for what it was going to be about? Did you confirm the time, the agenda, and the amount of time you're going to spend together? Did you go over the role that you play as a facilitator and a partner in the conversation? So basically, were you prepared? And you have to start there or you will not be set up for success. It's the building blocks or the framework or the foundation or whatever metaphor works for you. That's what you need to do to have a structure to keep the conversation moving in a meaningful way.
And I love, you know, everything you're talking about, Diana, is what we teach in our permission-based asking model. So the model doesn't just tell you how to ask for a gift of money. It tells you how to have all your communications with donors, because you're always asking something, right? Mm-hmm. Do they want a meeting? Do they want to talk about a big idea you have? Do they want to join you in an event? What communication preference do they have? So it's, you are asking, right? But it's, but it also gives you the framework for building trust and building a relationship that's great, has great communication. So in the model, it gives you that framework of how to say, for example, after you've had a little chit chat, are you ready to get started? So you know how to transition from piece to piece. Mm-hmm. And then a couple things before we start, like you mentioned, you talk about the objective for the meeting, if they're still good with that, because you've already communicated it, the time they have, checking in on that. And then you say, a couple roles I want to play today, and I'll always be playing, is one is a facilitator, because I respect your time, and we came here with a purpose, and do I have your permission to keep us moving through our meeting? And two, as your partner. So as a partner, it's important to me that you tell me what you're not getting, what you don't agree with, what you have questions about, that you're really not just here passively, but you're partnering with me and we're learning together about what's going to be exciting to you and your passion for the organization. So speak up, you know, we're in this together. So you set the framework for expectations so that when things go sideways, you've already talked about how it's going to work, right?
Right. Yeah. You're sort of like, you expect the referee to step in and call an audible or whatever you need to do, right? Because you said you were going to do that.
I want to jump in on one thing really quickly you mentioned earlier is that we think we don't need practice. And I really enjoyed interviewing this one guy who took our permission-based asking course. And he was like, man, I really realized because I'm an extrovert and I'm really good at talking to people that I winged it all the time and how much that was ego and how much that was just about me. But on the other side, if we over-prepare and we're freaked out and we're always fearful and we don't know if we're ready for it, that's also about us, right? Either end of the spectrum, it's still ego, you know? So I think the main thing is to prepare best we can and start to build our skill set as we go along so that we really are coming with a clear intention. And I've done many donor meetings where I'm sitting there in the meeting thinking, I'm not clear why I'm here. I know they wonder why they're here.
Yep.
I know they're feeling like this is a waste of their time. And I felt badly. So been there, done that.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. It's not about me. With so many things in life, this could be general counseling as well as how to have a good meeting. You know, as you think about it, there's a couple scenarios that come up pretty regularly in any fundraiser's life or any person who has meetings life. One is the chatty person, and there can be two chatty people. There can be the donor who's chatty and getting off track, or it could be you. And I'm not saying that it's me, but it has been me. So truth be told. So say you have, you've done your preparation and you're coming into this and you have a lot you need to cover. There's not as much time. And the donor gets talking and you're in that very beginning, even the intro, you haven't even really gotten down to the meat of things. And your donor is just going to town on their last vacation or whatever it is. I think it's really helpful to have a few phrases ready already like that, to come back to the purpose, to reflect and pull back. And, you know, you might say something like, you have a lot going on. I know we have a limited time now. Is it okay if I jump in about and whatever it is you did? That's okay to say to somebody. They're going to be okay with that, right?
I'm probably going to say, I love hearing about all this cool stuff that you're doing. And I'm also aware of time. So would you want to keep moving into the next section? Would that work for you? So I'd probably, being my personality, I give them some affirmation for how cool they are.
Yep. Be like Karen. She's a lot nicer than I am. Be like Karen. But what if you're the chatty one and you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, and speed is an issue. Born in Montana, but I talk like a Northeasterner because I've been here most of my life. You know what I would say? Own it. Karen, I'm so sorry. I get very excited about this and I know I need to dial it back. Is that okay? Just let me slow down and make sure I'm covering what you want to hear. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're being vulnerable. You're being truthful. Maybe it'll bring a little bit of humor into the conversation. They might chuckle a little bit. You can laugh at yourself and you can move on. It's really authentic to do that. You know, but you have to be aware of yourself. If you suddenly get the picture in your head, whoa, I need to dial it down. Go ahead and say it. You don't have to say it my way. But find a way to own the process so that the donor can enter back into you and you're back into the same emotional space, speed that they're in, and you can hone in on what's important to the donor. So you can ask those kinds of questions. And if you've been in that situation, Karen, I knew you have to do it with me.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking about how even if I have a donor I know is really chatty, I may ask for a longer meeting. Like, you know, I know that you really love to dive into things and really discuss them. Would you have an hour and a half? I mean, if you have a big thing to process, maybe you ask for more time.
Yep.
Because maybe that's just what they need. Now, if they go down some track, let's say into a detail, into the weeds, we'd say, a great question would be like, I know we're going down into this topic in detail. Is this an area you need to explore first before we talk about the whole thing? Because we can take the time today just to spend there, or would you like to come back to that in the future? So it's just giving them options, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they realize, oh yeah, I'm in the weeds. Cool, let's keep it going, probably most of the time. Or maybe they really need to dive in there first. And it would be sad to just, because I think in the past, we didn't ask permission. We just interrupted and kept it moving, which cut them off, which I'm sure, then they're just kind of shut down. Like, okay, well, I needed to talk about that and she's not interested. So I can't wait for this meeting to be over.
It goes back to, it's not about you. Like so much of this goes back to, it's not about you. Maybe there is something they want to dive in deeper than you planned. Then you can pivot with that. They might be venting about something that's got nothing to do with your topic at hand. And you might even say, it sounds like this is a really important thing for you to talk about. Is that what you want to spend time on today? Even if it is not about the topic you agreed. It's not the weeds, but it's just something completely different. It's okay to ask that question. They may say, oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. Let's get back on. Or they may say, yeah, this is really bugging me right now. And you can spend the time on it. And you can go away from that meeting with two things. You can go away saying, wow, I really blew it. I didn't stay on topic. I can't go to step two or step three in my list of things I wanted to accomplish. Or you can go away from that and say, I really heard my donor and this was important to them. And I actually did learn some things and I can still go forward with them on the proposal or whatever it is you want to talk about another time.
You know, what's cool is with the permission-based asking, you always go back to a line. So even if they say, I just want to keep chatting about whatever I'm passionate about in the moment, you can say, well, before we close out, can I just touch base on a couple things? And then, you know, we spent today talking about XYZ. I love it. It's been valuable. I'm really glad we had that time. Are you okay with us to set up another meeting to go back to what we were originally going to meet about? And how soon would you like to set that up? So, because I've walked away because it went off the rails and had no next step agreement. And then I had to chase them down for forever again to try to get in the door. And so it just, it saves so much time and it's so respectful to do that.
And that's where practicing those kind of phrases so that you're comfortable with them and you can interject them. So, you know, if it's part of your repertoire, if you will, of things that you naturally say, it'll come in. It'll be more easy for you to do that as you go through it. Another thing that can kind of get a meeting going off track is emotions, whether it's the donor's emotions or your own emotions, right? So maybe there's a story you're telling that's bringing out sadness or tears or discomfort, or maybe even feelings of anger or righteous indignation. Many of you are working in nonprofits that are dealing with very, very difficult things, and the donor might be responding to that. So you want to think in advance, how would I handle that sort of thing? Mm-hmm. And I think, again, it's sort of own it. It seems like this is bringing up some emotions for you right now. Do you want to pause for a minute? Do you want to take a break? Something like that. You can do a physical signal if you have water or coffee or tea or whatever. Just by you picking up your glass of water kind of gives them a little bit of a break too. And that might help them compose themselves because they might pick up the glass of water and take a sip. So think through some physicality. But what if it's you that's getting emotional? What if you're the one who's starting to feel teary or a little angry, and you're becoming aware of it in your body language and everything, and your speech is rapid or really slow, whatever it is? You do have to get present with yourself, do the things that we talk about frequently in Veritas, get in touch with your body, you know, put your shoulders back a little bit, get your breathing in control. But one of the best things you can do is, again, own it. And also, I say this a lot, one of the best things you can just say is, I see this topic as bringing up my own emotions, right? Why does that matter? Does it make you vulnerable? Yes, but you don't want this meeting to be about the donor feeling like they have to navigate your feelings. So say it. You both have permission to move past it now, because otherwise they're just going to be looking at you if the tears are coming up in your eyes, or, you know, they're going to start worrying about you. You don't want that either, but just say it. You know, this is bringing up emotions. This is a tough thing that our organization works on, or this touched on a personal experience for myself, you know. And then again, that quick drink of water or something to physically move so you get back into yourself. And Karen, I know you talk about that a lot.
I guess I was thinking about one thing I learned in one of my coaching sessions years ago, which was interesting, is don't hand someone a tissue if they're, in the sense that you don't want to act as though you're uncomfortable with their emotion. So you're trying to cut it off, right? Even having a tissue is like, oh, can we stop those tears? Mm-hmm. Which is, you think you're being helpful, but so it's interesting to give some people some space and just be, all you got to do is breathe, just sit there and breathe and let them work through it. Mm-hmm. I think we all have emotions we're more and less comfortable with. So maybe we're not comfortable with sadness, maybe we're not comfortable with anger. And I think just being, things coming up for me is not to identify the emotion for them. Like, oh, it seems like you're really angry.
Right.
Because what if they may not be okay with that. So I think I would be cautious around identifying it for them. But maybe something like, you know, we all feel really passionate about, you know, the mission and what we're doing and what we're about. And I so appreciate you sharing and being with that, whatever it is. And I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, you could say it looks like you're passionate about this, or it looks like this is bringing up emotion, but doing it. And then you're right. Don't label it. Yeah. Labels lead to judgment. And that is not your intention. Your intention is to be accepting of them, but also give them a moment to compose if that's what they want to do. Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with you. Yeah. That's
because emotions are just, from what I've learned, emotions are just information and energy for change, right? Mm-hmm. Anger is about boundaries, something you want to change, something you're not okay with. You know, with grief, it's something you want to release. So, nothing wrong with some emotions.
Right. So, I mean, you have to get that internally and own that and believe that. And if you really can get that in your head and your heart, then you're much more accepting and open of what this conversation is bringing up.
And right? If you're accepting and open of your own emotions and all perspectives, you will be more comfortable with others.
Yeah.
Just
yep.
FYI.
Yeah. Go back to counseling.
Not a bad thing.
Another thing that comes up is the multiple people in a meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And this can happen a couple of ways. Maybe somebody joins a meeting that you were not expecting. You thought you were meeting with a husband and wife and a financial advisor comes, or you're meeting with a woman and her son comes, or you're, you know, whatever the scenario is. That can bring up anxiety in yourself because you weren't prepared for that, right?
You don't had a now, plan what do I do? With this person.
Yeah. What do they want? Well, you know, you actually can say something like, I'm so glad you could join us. What are you hoping to get out of our meeting? Mm-hmm. Which draws that person in. It helps you understand what their role is and helps you be able to include them as you're going through, because you can answer questions as it relates to their role. Sometimes they might just say, hey, I'm just here with my mom because she wanted me to be. Or it could be, you know, I'm helping my mother make or my father make financial decisions or whatever it is. But now, you know, it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a mystery, right? You don't want it to be a mystery. It's not helpful to you. It's not helpful for them. So just think through a question that's open and warm and engaging and including that person in, but gives you some clarity. So
I know I've
help.
Not asked that before and felt so awkward. And then I was weird because I had this whole thing prepared, but then this whole other element came. So that's really helpful.
Yeah. Particularly when you're talking about finances, it can feel very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so that helps you get that on the table. Another thing happens, you might have team members from, you know, internally from your own organization joining, and maybe it's the executive director or the CEO or your vice president or a subject matter expert. If you've listened to anything Veritas has ever taught, you know, we talk about being prepared. Talk in advance with the people participating with you. Role play if they're open to it, but at least be clear on who's doing what. I did just talk with a group recently, and their executive director, when that person joins them in a meeting, he just sort of launches in. And he's got a lot of great things to say, but a 15-minute monologue is not really helpful. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, you know, just having an open and honest conversation with that person and say, this is what I'm observing, and this is the effect I think it's having as I'm observing. Are you open to my being able to just remind you from time to time, either with a phrase or a movement, to just kind of catch your breath so that you can be back in touch with the donor and let them ask a question and let them lead a little bit? I know that's not an easy conversation to have, but neither is being in that environment where you're feeling stressed. The donor might be feeling stressed. Your CEO or executive director might be feeling stressed. So talking about that advance and then having some cues in the conversation could really help with that. I don't know if you have anything more on that as you're thinking.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, I mean, you can use this as an excuse. I've been learning about this communication model from Veritas, and this is what they advise to do with your leadership. So if everybody who's going to be in the meeting, we get really clear about our roles, and we don't want to do any monologues for mm-hmm. more than 5 minutes, even that, you know, mm-hmm. And be able. And so here's some questions that I'm going to give you that you could ask. That'd be really cool, because they'd feel really honored that the CEO is asking them. And if you can work on keeping what you're sharing to shorter chunks, and are you okay with me reminding you? I think getting that permission.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for those of us who are feel like they need to tell every single detail of the story to make the story make sense, probably need to ask some colleagues, how well do I tell stories? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Someone you trust, or a friend, or, you know, a person close to you. And if they say, well, you really like to dive into all the details, then it would be good to record yourself and start thinking about and working on, how do I truncate that? You know, what details can I remove? And it is a relearning how your brain works and you think. But it'd be worth the effort, because you are going to be losing people and be less effective. So just, you know, it is a skill set to develop. And just storytelling, period. I need to develop my how to tell a story in a passionate. I mean, I sometimes take out too many details. So
right. I mean, and you brought up the recording. I really believe in this as a way to improve our communication overall. Even preparing for today, I actually recorded myself earlier this morning so I could see what flows for me. What do I stumble on? that kind of a thing. What would make this come alive a little bit more? Did I do everything I said I would do? No, because, you know, I'm a normal human being like you are. But I did go back and listen to it, and I took some notes on what I said and didn't say. And then I went back and thought, okay, let me think that through a little better. You can tell a story, record it in Zoom or wherever you want to record things. Go back and listen to yourself and think through, that's a really important point. Oh boy, did I get in the weeds there? And discipline yourself to what matters in the story. Mm-hmm. It's hard work. It's why it's a job, right? Yeah.
This is great, Diana. Now I know we have a few other strategies to help our listeners out and keep meetings on track. So let's finish up. What are those?
Two key things, and I'll say them quickly and I'll come back on them. One is managing your environment. And the other is, again, I'll talk about practicing in advance, but let me go back to managing your environment. If you're going to be meeting in a restaurant or some kind of a public, particularly a restaurant, you can say to the server after you've been seated, by the way, we're going to be having a detailed conversation. We'll let you know if we want you to assist us again. You might want to wait until you've placed your order. You might get started and then place the order and then let them know that. But you can let the wait staff know your intention so that they can respect what you're trying to accomplish there. That's one thing you do. The other is think about the location. If the donor chose the location and you don't know what the environment is like, call the restaurant and ask so you're prepared. And you can ask for a quiet table or something like that if it's a restaurant where some places are quieter than others. If there's really loud music, you might even call your donor and say, you know, I checked in the restaurant to make sure things would work there. And they did tell me it's a pretty busy, loud place. Are you open to something else? Particularly if your donor is maybe a little older or hearing is an issue, or you have a lot of detail you want to communicate, you want to control that as best you can. And then for yourself, if you're choosing the location, think through those things. Like I know a lot of first meetings with donors can be in coffee shops. Try not to do that in rush hour when there's so much going on that you can't pay attention to each other because people are jostling your elbow or whatever, especially you can control that. Think through what location, what you're doing. If you're at a hotel and it's a quiet meeting room, that's fine. But if you're in the hotel lobby and you're meeting in the lobby, go in advance and notice what it's like in the lobby and where is a quiet corner versus where isn't a quiet corner.
Yeah. Donors say they can, there's times that they've met with people and they can't hear half of what they said.
Yeah. And if you're meeting a donor in a home, you can ask them that too. Is that, you know, love to meet in your home? You want to meet in your den or living room or around your kitchen table so that you're understanding what your environment, you can ask those kinds of questions too. The other thing, just coming back to practice in advance, and I know I say this a lot, maybe too much, but for some reason, we really don't think we need to do it, right? But think about it. What professional athlete, musician, actor, or court attorney doesn't keep practicing? Because every game, every concert, every play, every case is different, and you need to be prepared and go over the basics and be ready, and so you can be present with the donor. At the end of the day, that's your objective, that you're present and you're able to have a conversation that's meaningful to the donor, and you can move forward to what the donor wants to do. And that takes work. It just does.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the blog I just wrote about do one small thing with love with Mother Teresa. So it would be really cool to, like, from this podcast, pick one thing you want to work on first around meetings with donors, whether that's your transition language or describing your roles, whatever it is, and then practice it and do that with love. Love for yourself, love for the donor, not from like, you know, I'm not good at this, but from a place of like, you know, this is going to be fun. I'm going to go on an adventure and see how I can improve. And I love that analogy, Diana, because, you know, we're not finished. It's always a growth and learning opportunity, and it's going to get boring if we don't keep growing, right?
Right. Yep. That's good. Good stuff.
Good stuff. So thank you all for joining me and Diana today for this episode. And I hope that you got some good, valuable takeaways that will help you get your donor meetings back on track when those situations come up. If you'd like to learn more about how to make meaningful and impactful donor meetings, I'll encourage you to check out our certification course for major gifts and mid-level, which will give you the system and structure you need to create strong partnerships with your donors, which will result in better meetings as well. You can head to the show notes on our website under trainings to learn more about these courses. Thank you, Diana. This was really fun. And everyone, have a great day and take care.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.